Dear devotees, this week I've been speaking on the topic of Guru Tattva. And specifically the last couple of days we've been discussing about how to recognize a true Guru. I told you that there's no way to just observe somebody's appearance or behavior or even the way they talk, and to judge with our limited intellect who is a divine saint and who isn't. Because a true guru is God realized. And that's an internal thing. We can't see with our physical eyes whether or not someone has that unlimited divine treasure within their heart, whether they've attained that unlimited bliss of God. We can't tell by looking at them. But there are a few ways that we can employ over time through our own experience to recognize that we are actually being affected by this, the grace of this saint that we're associating with. So the first thing I told you, in fact, I told you if you only remember one thing this whole week, remember this, that by associating with a saint, we receive that saint's grace in our heart, internally, and the effect of that is our attachment to God grows. And our detachment in the world increases. The intensity of our desire to reach God, to have the divine vision of God, that keeps on growing due to the grace of a saint. And our attachment in the world keeps on reducing, which means that things like anger and jealousy, etc., will also go on reducing. This is the effect of the saint's grace, which is received internally. You can say by practicing devotion as prescribed by that saint, we receive this effect. Just like by following a treatment plan prescribed by a qualified doctor will result in you getting cured of your disease. So you can judge the results, but in the spiritual field, those results are judged internally according to our own inner transformation. How much are we spiritually evolving? So this is very different than how most people try to judge who a saint is or not. Most people don't think of judging by their own internal progress. But what I'm telling you is that's the only thing you should be looking at. Forget everything else. Forget what the saint looks like. Forget how they're dressed. It doesn't matter if they're wearing jeans or a dhoti. It doesn't matter if they're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if they're young or old. It doesn't matter if they're married with kids or if they're a sannyasi. It doesn't matter if they're rich. It doesn't matter if they're poor. It doesn't matter if they're a king or a beggar. None of that makes any difference. What we need to determine is, do they have that divine bliss inside? That divine bliss is also God's divine grace. So by coming close to them, just like coming close to a fire, our feeling of being cold is gradually reduced. In other words, our worldly attachment is reduced, and our feeling of warmth increases. In other words, our attachment to God increases. Secondly, I told you that you can also judge through your experience of listening to the saint, that although there are many people in the world who speak good words and who tell about God, but the saint's words have a particular weight to them. The weight of the saint's words, if one is receptive, they impact the heart much more deeply than the words of a common person. Even if that common person may be highly educated, a great Sanskrit scholar, a knower of our scriptures, and yet their words will not have a deep effect on the heart if they are not God-realized. Thirdly, I told you that our scriptures describe some physical manifestations in the body of a saint, which sometimes become visible, even though the saint tries, and God gives the saint the power to control that unlimited bliss that the saint is holding within. Yet sometimes in the right situation, chanting God's name, listening to God's leelas, in this way, that ocean overflows the heart of the saint, and the saint actually may show some physical symptoms of that inner ocean of bliss. Rup Goswami has said, Stambha svedo tharomancha swarbhedo thave pathu vaivarnyamashru pralaya ityashtau sattvika smrita. Bhaktir Samrit Sindhu tells us, this is one of the most important books on bhakti, it tells us that there are eight symptoms of divine love which the saint carries within, which manifest outwardly from time to time. They're called the sattvic bhav. So I enumerated those for you, and I told you that the devotee who's not God-realized also experiences these sattvic bhav in a much reduced way, like a little glimpse of that divine bliss. The devotee also experiences to whatever extent their heart is purified, and actually with the Guru's grace. So that's, when I say your attachment to God is increasing, it means you start experiencing that bhav also, which normally people don't experience just by practicing devotion. You practice devotion according to the teachings of a saint with the grace of a saint, then you experience that bhav. So having experienced even a little taste of that, the devotee can recognize when the saint is showing those divine symptoms, those sattvic bhav, physically. So these were the three ways that I told you, if you put in the time and associate with a saint and practice the saint's teachings, that through your own experiences, you can actually recognize the divinity of a saint. So there's no shortcut. You have to put in the work. Then I told you that there are also three ways that you can actually know. There are three things that a true saint doesn't do. And this actually contradicts what we think. So we normally think that saints give boons, right? You go to a saint and the saint will give you what you're asking for. But I explained to you yesterday that actually that's contrary to the philosophy of our scriptures. And even though a saint has the power to do that, a saint would never do so, because the saint leaves that up to your destiny. Whatever past karma you have done has to fructify in this life. So the good and bad things that happen to you, what comes to you or doesn't come to you, all of that is determined by your own past actions, and the saint will not interfere with that, because God is giving you the fruit of your past actions in the form of your destiny. How could the saint, it's like making a correction in what God has written out for you. The saint would never do that. So if someone is acting like they're giving some kind of a boon, giving some material blessings, it's just that. It's an act. It's not real. A true saint has the power to do that and doesn't do it. And someone who isn't a true saint will want to gain a following by pretending to do that. Muh se bol denge aur kya? They'll just say, oh yes, yes, whatever you're asking, your wish will be granted. So there are plenty of people pretending like that in the world. And then if that thing happens to happen in our life, then we give the credit to the saint, but it was actually according to our destiny anyway. It was bound to happen. So this is one way that we can actually get fooled. If we go to a saint or someone we think may be a saint with incorrect understanding, with an incorrect approach, then we're opening ourselves up to be fooled. So if we believe that saints give material blessings, then anyone who just says from their mouth, oh yes, you'll have this blessing, you'll have that blessing, we'll accept that person as our guru, and we won't gain anything. Our materialism will multiply, not our love for God. So this is one thing to avoid. The next thing I told you is that saints do not curse people. All the instances of one saint cursing someone that you read about in our scriptures, these are all divine events. And saints curse other saints as part of a divine lila, which is pre-programmed by God. And it's all part of a plan to make something happen which is going to grace the souls. So I explained that in detail yesterday. Therefore, those saints who come among us, they have no need to and no reason to curse or threaten to curse any of their followers or any person in this world. So if any so-called saint is threatening you with a curse, you can know that it's just talk and it's nothing to worry about, and you can avoid that person in the future. Thirdly, I told you that saints do not make public, pre-planned exhibitions of their powers. And I explained that there are different kinds of real siddhis. There are tamas siddhis, also called bhut siddhis. There are rajas siddhis, sattvic siddhis. And even those sattvic siddhis, which are the great yogic siddhis, even those are mayic. Mayic means material, nothing to do with God. Sage Patanjali says, samadha upasarga vyutthane siddhaya. Those siddhis that a true yogi gets, means never mind bhut siddhis and rajas siddhis, the greatest yogic siddhis that the topmost yogis get, that there might not even be such a yogi in the world nowadays. These siddhis are that great. Those siddhis have nothing to do with God. Maharshi Patanjali says they arise through the practice of samadhi as the consciousness deepens, as the yogi's consciousness transcends to lower and deeper levels of his own mind. Those powers which lie dormant in everybody's mind are sequentially awakened as the yogi gradually purifies his mind. They're just mayic powers that lie dormant in every single person's mind. They're in our mind too. We just haven't accessed them. They're not divine powers. I told you that beyond these yogic siddhis, there is one more siddhi, mukti. With God's grace, you can get freed from all the mayic bondages. But beyond that, there's one more topmost siddhi, and that is called prem, the divine love. Because if you attain that divine love of God, then you get God under your control. He gives himself to you. Like we were just chanting, he follows his devotee around, his God-realized devotee. He wants to do anything and everything for his God-realized devotee. Why? Because that devotee is in possession of prem. So prem is the topmost siddhi. When you have God under your control, when God has submitted himself to you, and I mean this in a sweet way, he does that because we've submitted ourselves to him. But when God has submitted himself to you, what's left to conquer? Everything is under God, and if God has given himself to you, then you have everything. So there's no need for any siddhis. But anyway, a true saint, although they do have siddhis, and they may, under a specific circumstance, incidentally use some power at some time in their life, they do not do pre-planned exhibitions to draw a crowd and show their power to people. Saints don't use their power to show it to people. They may just use a power at some time because something needed to be done. And we have examples of this in our history. But true saints do not make it a way of attracting disciples by showing some kind of siddhi. Because again, what does the saint want? The saint wants to turn your mind towards God. Attracting your mind to these siddhis is not the path to God. Giving you correct knowledge and teaching you how to practice devotion, that is the correct path. So a true saint does that. A true saint does not divert your mind towards siddhis. पिछले प्रवचनों में मैंने आप लोगों को बताया कि हम अपनी आंखों से कोई भी संत पहचान नहीं कर सकते हैं. क्यों? क्योंकि संत का जो दिव्य परिस्थिति है वो अंदर है, वो आंखों से दिखाई नहीं पड़ता. तो हम ये नहीं कर सकते कि मतलब देखा कि ये संत क्या पहन रहे हैं, कैसे बैठ रहे हैं, कैसे चल रहे हैं, कैसे बात कर रहे हैं, कैसे प्रवचन दे रहे हैं, क्या वो सन्यासी हैं कि गृहस्थी हैं, वृद्ध हैं कि युवान हैं, अमीर हैं कि फकीर हैं, वो सब देख के हमको कुछ नहीं पता चलेगा, कुछ भी नहीं. मैंने आपको एक उदाहरण बताया था पुंडरीक विद्यानिधि वाला, इससे आप लोगों को ज्ञात हुआ होगा कि हमारी बहुत बड़ी भूल भी हो सकती है. हम अपराध भी कर सकते हैं संत के प्रति, असली संत के प्रति, यदि हम ऐसी चीजें देखते हैं. तो वो न देख के अपने अंदर देखना चाहिए कि संत के सत्संग करने से, उनकी बताई हुई साधना करने से, उनकी सेवा करने से अंदर कुछ परिवर्तन हो रहा है क्या? अच्छा, क्या परिवर्तन होगा? अंदर हमारी भगवान से प्रेम बढ़ेगा, भाव बढ़ेगा और संसार से अटैचमेंट कम होता जाएगा. ये नंबर वन. नंबर टू, यदि हमारा हृदय खुला है तो संतों के शब्द घुस सकते हैं हमारे हृदय में और अज्ञान का ग्रंथ को काट सकते हैं. तो वो जो आदमी बोलता है, आम आदमी, उनके शब्दों में वो शक्ति नहीं है. तो वो भी हम महसूस कर सकते हैं लेकिन समय लगता है उसमें. और तीसरी बात मैंने बताया आपको कि कभी कभी ऐसा होता है कि संत के शरीर में सात्विक भावों का उद्रेक होता है, तो वो देख के हमको पता चलता है कि अंदर क्या है. उनके अंदर वो दिव्य आनंद का खजाना है. वो देखने से पहले प्रतीत नहीं हो रहा था लेकिन अब मैंने देखा है कि जब कीर्तन कर रहे थे, भगवान का स्मरण कर रहे थे, ऐसा हुआ है. और मैंने ये भी बताया आप लोगों को कि तीन चीजों से दूर रहना है. तीन कंफ्यूजन रहते हैं लोगों के मन में. एक है कि संत संसारी आशीर्वाद देते हैं, वर देते हैं। संत के पास जाके हम संसार मांगते हैं। मैंने आपको बहुत डिटेल में समझाया कल कि ऐसा नहीं होता है। असली संत कभी भी संसारी वर या आशीर्वाद नहीं देता। यदि कोई देता है तो उसके पास देने की शक्ति है भी नहीं, वो देने का नाटक कर रहा है आपको शिष्य बनाने के लिए। वो उनको भी सही तत्व ज्ञान नहीं है कि भगवान संसार नहीं देते, भगवान भाव देते हैं, कृपा देते हैं अंदर। वो हमारा संसार बढ़ाना नहीं चाहता है, बल्कि वो उसको हमारी जिस चीज में हमारी आसक्ति है उस चीज को भगवान एक एक छीन लेंगे। वो भी मैंने आपको बताया था। तो उन लोगों से दूर रहिए जो ऐसा ढोंग रचते हैं कि वो संसारी वर या आशीर्वाद देते हैं। दूसरी चीज थी कि संत श्राप नहीं देता है। जो इतिहास में आप लोगों ने पढ़ा होगा वो सब लीला क्षेत्र में होता है। वो भगवान की इच्छा के अनुसार होता है। लेकिन श्राप कोई संत आम आदमी को, अपने शिष्यों को कभी नहीं दे सकता है। श्राप अच्छी चीज है, भगवान की कृपा से श्राप होता है, लेकिन संतों के आसपास के आपस में ही श्राप दिया जाता है। श्राप आम लोगों को नहीं दिया जाता है। तो यदि कोई संत श्राप देने का डर दिलाता है आपको, मतलब कि तुम मुझे छोड़ोगे तो मैं श्राप दूंगा, ऐसा संत संत नहीं है। आप डरिए मत उनसे, उनको उनके पास श्राप देने की शक्ति है ही नहीं। फिर भी आप उनसे दूर होकर दुर्भावना भी ना कीजिए। किसी से दुर्भावना नहीं करना है, एक ही मन है और वही मन भगवान में लगाना है। यदि आपने दुश्मन लाया अपने मन में तो फिर भगवान का स्मरण कहाँ हो रहा है। तो भले ही कोई आपने पहचान लिया कि ये नकली बाबा है, ये महापुरुष नहीं है, देखो क्या कर रहे हैं, वो संसारी वर देने का नाटक भी करता है, वो भी करता है, ये भी करता है, नहीं ऐसा चिंतन मत करो उन लोगों का भी, आप अपना नुकसान कर रहे हैं उससे, बस समझ लो और दूर दूर हो जा। आप नमस्कार भी कर सकते हैं, रिस्पेक्ट भी कर सकते हैं, हम उनका अपमान भी नहीं करना चाहते हैं, लेकिन हम समझ गए कि इनसे कुछ नहीं मिलना है। जो हमको चाहिए दिव्य रस और भक्ति, तो दूर रहिए। और तीसरी बात भी वही है, चमत्कार को दूर से नमस्कार। असली संत सिद्धि आम लोगों के सामने प्रकट नहीं करते हैं। कभी कभी होता है जब मजबूरी में किसी संत ने अपने अपनी शक्ति का प्रयोग किया होगा, होता है कभी कभी, लेकिन पहले से प्लान करके लोगों को इकट्ठे करके फिर दिखाया, ऐसा संत लोग नहीं करते हैं। तो उनसे भी दूर से नमस्कार कीजिए, उनसे बचे रहिए। नहीं तो हम लोग बेवकूफ बन जाते हैं, क्योंकि पता है जिस जिस व्यक्ति में हमने मन का अटैचमेंट किया है उनके पास जाना है अगले जन्म में। तो मान लो आपने किसी नकली गुरु गुरु माना है और वो लोगों को बहकाने के कारण वो नरक चला जाएगा ना, और क्या होगा, इससे बड़ा पाप क्या हो सकता है। वो नरक जाएगा ही, और यदि आपका मन का अटैचमेंट उसमें है तो आप कहां जाएंगे? आप भी नरक जाएंगे उनके साथ। आप कहेंगे कि भगवान ये बड़ा अन्याय है, मैं क्या जानता था। नहीं, आपकी ड्यूटी है, तत्व ज्ञान प्राप्त करना है, समझना है कि कैसे पहचानना है, ये हमारा रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी है। तो सावधान होके, मतलब यदि हम ये सुन के डिसीजन लेते हैं कि अच्छा मैं किसी के पास नहीं जाऊंगा फिर तब भी हमारा नुकसान होता है, क्योंकि भगवत प्राप्ति हो ही नहीं सकती है गुरु के बिना। तो जाना ही है लेकिन समझ के जाना है। आप लोगों को जो ज्ञान मिला है इस हफ्ते में वो पर्याप्त है, वो ये बहुत सरल है। बस अपने अंदर देखो क्या एक्सपीरियंस हो रहा है, क्या मेरा भगवान से प्रेम बढ़ रहा है इस संत की कृपा से, इस संत के सत्संग करने से। बहुत सरल उपाय है आपके लिए। तो ये बाकी चीजें जो आप लोग मन में लगाते हैं, जिसके कारण आप बहकते हैं, कंफ्यूज्ड हो जाते हैं, उससे बचना है। उससे बचो तो फिर बड़ा आसान है। भगवान से प्रार्थना करो, मुझे एक गुरु चाहिए, आप भेज दीजिए जल्दी। और फिर पहचान कैसे कर सकेंगे? बस अपने अंदर देखो, अपना एक्सपीरियंस देखो, बाहर वाले चीजों को मत देखो। तो इजी है, डरने की कोई बात नहीं है, लेकिन समझ के जाना। सो टुनाइट देयर इज वन मोर थिंग दैट आई वांट टू एड्रेस, टू मोर थिंग्स, वी विल सी इफ आई गेट टू बोथ ऑफ देम टुनाइट और आई हैव टू सेव वन फॉर टुमारो। वन इज मंत्र दीक्षा एंड वन इज संप्रदाय। मंत्र दीक्षा इज अनदर area where people tend to get confused. Well, first of all, let's understand the actual. What is Diksha? Diksha means to give something, and actually it means a transfer of divine power. So do you know what the actual Diksha is? Actual Diksha is the moment of God realization. A guru has God's divine grace and God's divine bliss, and the guru has the power to grace you with that divine experience. The guru has the power to remove the bondage of Maya. But all of this is dependent on us preparing our vessel, because that grace has to be received by us. So it's received in our mind. Call it your mind, your heart, your antahkaran. In here, this is your vessel. Right now, our vessel is not fit to receive that unlimited divine grace and unlimited divine bliss. We need a fit vessel to receive that. That's why the guru can't, at this time, just go around gracing everybody. If there's a true guru in the world, why couldn't the guru just go around and say, your God realized, your God realized, your God realized? Or just think and all the souls would be God realized, because you don't even have to be face to face with your guru for the guru to give you God realization. One time, Shankaracharya ji, Jagadguru Shankaracharya, he had quite a few disciples, and many of them were quite learned, and they studied the Vedas and Vedant Sutra and everything with Shankaracharya ji's guidance. So, there was also one disciple of Jagadguru Shankaracharya who was very slow. Such a slow learner that you can say he couldn't really learn anything. He didn't know, didn't learn any mantras, couldn't study any Sanskrit. So the other disciples probably just thought, oh, this poor fellow, you know, how is he ever going to get God realized if he's unable to learn all of this? But he had the enough knowledge. He knew that my guru is divine, and if I serve my guru through that service, my heart will purify, and my guru will be able to give me God realization. So even though he didn't have much education, he spent all of his time serving Jagadguru Shankaracharya. One day it so happened he was down at the river and he was washing Guruji's clothes in the river. And remembering him and feeling very lucky to get the chance to do this seva. Now he'd been doing seva for many years in Guruji's ashram. Throughout that process, his heart was getting purified. Today was the day he reached the state of complete heart purification. So what happened? At that very moment that his heart became completely purified, even though he was down at the river and Guruji was back in the ashram, Shankaracharyaji, being a divine saint, he knows the inner state of all of his disciples at all times. So he knew instantly when his disciple had reached the point of perfect heart purification, and he graced him with God realization. So there, down at the river, he got the unlimited bliss of God and the unlimited knowledge of God. And he came back from the river chanting Vedic mantras that he had never learned. And all the other disciples were amazed. Inko kya ho gaya aaj? So you don't even have to be face to face with the guru to get God realization. When you're ready, guru graces instantly. That is the diksha. That moment of God realization, guru gave you diksha. In other words, at that moment, he made you his real disciple. Up until then, what are you doing? You're trying to become qualified to become his disciple. Jagatguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj used to say, Mera ek bhi shishya nahi hai. He didn't make disciples. Because he said, what I can do is, I can describe the path to you. And I can help you follow the path, but you have to follow the path. You have to do bhakti and purify your heart. When you're qualified, then a saint can give the divine experience, but not until then. So only upon complete heart purification do we become qualified to call ourselves a real disciple. Up until then, we are sadhak. Sadhak means we're practicing, we're following the path in order to purify our heart and mind. So you can say there is a preliminary diksha, or you could call it shiksha. In this preliminary diksha, Guruji gives you, he explains the process. That's it. What do you have to do? Then when you follow that process and you've cleaned your heart, then Guruji gives the real diksha, which is a transfer of divine power. So nowadays, this idea of diksha has been distorted. People think that all they have to do in their life is go to a guru, and the guru will provide a mantra and give you some instructions on how to repeat the mantra, how many times a day to chant it, this kind of thing. And then you have to keep doing that for the rest of your life. This in itself, there's nothing wrong with. If any guru tells you, this is a name of God, repeat it, usme kya galat hai? Kuch bhi galat nahi hai. Every mantra has God's name in it. Every mantra gets its power from the fact God's name is in that mantra. So if any guru gives you a mantra and tells you to repeat it, good. He's telling you to repeat God's name. Where the confusion comes in and the mistake comes in is people think, now I'm guaranteed entrance to the divine abode. Like it's some kind of shortcut. They don't understand they have to attach their mind to God. They just mechanically repeat a mantra for their whole life. Their mind stays attached in the world. Even when they're repeating the mantra, many people don't even think of God or know they have to think of God. They think it's enough just to repeat the mantra. So if their mind is not in God, then there's no spiritual effect being received of that mantra. Your mind has to be in God, then the effect of God's name is received. So this idea that all we have to do is receive a mantra from a guru and then basically our work is done, this is erroneous. This is a dangerous idea, because then people don't look for, you know, what do I actually have to do to attach my mind to God? And if someone is giving you a mantra and not explaining that to you, then there's a mistake there as well. It should be explained that your mind has to be attached to God. And just by repeating this mantra for the rest of your life, you're not going to be guaranteed entrance to Golok or Vaikunth. Some people think that. Ab Guruji ne mantra diya hai mujhe, to waha mil jayenge Golok mein. Bas kaam ho gaya. So it's not like that. There's no shortcut on the spiritual path. The shortcut is bhakti. That's a big shortcut. But bhakti still has to be practiced. See, when we try to get lazy, when we try to look for shortcuts or loopholes, that's where we open ourselves up to being fooled by so-called gurus who are interested in accumulating more followers but are not able to show the actual path to God. So again, I'm not telling you this so that you can look at anyone with any kind of ill will or tell anyone else that they're wrong or even feel badly about anything. I'm just telling you this so that if you want to follow the true path to God and if you want to find a true guru, you have the right information and you can avoid these situations where you might get fooled. तो अभी मैंने समझाया अंग्रेजी में कि असली दीक्षा होता है, होती है जब हमारा अंतःकरण शत प्रतिशत शुद्ध हो जाता है. उससे पहले कोई भी गुरु असली दीक्षा नहीं दे सकते हैं, क्योंकि असली दीक्षा है भगवत प्रेम देना, भगवत आनंद देना. तो वो उसमें जो पावर है वो आम आदमी के अंतःकरण में ठहर नहीं सकता है. तो उसके लिए तैयारी करनी है. वो तैयारी ये है कि हम साधना करके अपने अंतःकरण को शुद्ध करें. अच्छा, जैसे बिजली आ रही है तारों में, मतलब बाहर जो पावर लाइंस हैं उसमें पावर हाउस से बिजली आ रही है और आपका घर है, लेकिन आपके घर में आपने कोई भी फिटिंग नहीं लगाया है, वायरिंग नहीं किया है, स्विच वगैरह नहीं लगाया है, और आप प्रार्थना करते हैं पावर हाउस से कि आप दीक्षा दे दीजिए, यानी पावर दे दीजिए. पावर हाउस कहेगा कि पहले अपनी तैयारी कर लो, स्विच लगाओ, बल्ब लगाओ, फिटिंग लगाओ, सारा वायरिंग ठीक ठीक कर दो. जैसे ही ठीक होगा आप कनेक्ट कर दो, बिजली मिल जाएगी, बल्ब जलेगा. ऐसे ही गुरु पावर नहीं दे सकते हैं जब तक हम लोगों ने अंतःकरण की शुद्धि नहीं की है. तो ये ऐसा सोचना कि मैं एक गुरु के पास जाके दीक्षा लूंगा, कैसा दीक्षा? दीक्षा का मतलब है पावर देना. आपको मंत्र मिला है, अंदर क्या कोई असर हुआ है, कुछ अनुभव हुआ है? नहीं. क्यों नहीं? उस मंत्र में पावर नहीं है. नहीं, गुरुजी कहेंगे कि पावर है, मेरे गुरुजी ने मुझे दिया है, उनके गुरुजी ने उनको दिया है, ये इस परंपरा से पावर है इस मंत्र में। तो आपने कान में या माइक से मंत्र दिया है तो मेरे अंदर असर क्यों नहीं पड़ा, कोई फीलिंग नहीं। गुरुजी कहेंगे कि तुम्हारा अंतःकरण अशुद्ध है इसलिए। अच्छा, मेरा अंतःकरण अशुद्ध है तो उसका मतलब है कि मैं अनधिकारी हूं, तो आपने अनधिकारी को दीक्षा कैसे दिया है? आपको पता नहीं है कौन अधिकारी है और कौन नहीं है। तो मेरे कहने का मतलब है कि दीक्षा अधिकारी वालों को दिया जाता है और असली गुरु जानता है कि कौन अधिकारी है कौन नहीं है। कुछ गुरु लोगों ने मंत्र से भगवत प्राप्ति दिया है। मंत्र से जब अंतःकरण शुद्धि हुई थी उस शिष्य की, तो उसने कान में मंत्र बोला और भगवत प्राप्ति हुई, पावर दिया है उस मंत्र से। किसी गुरुओं ने आलिंगन करने से भगवत प्राप्ति दिया है, कुछ गुरुओं ने आंखों से देखने से दिया है। अलग अलग स्टाइल होते हैं। तो मेन बात है कि हम तत्व ज्ञान रख के जाएं गुरुओं के पास, नहीं तो हम कंफ्यूज्ड हो जाएंगे। मैंने मंत्र लिया है, सारा जीवन लेते रहा, फिर भी मन का अटैचमेंट भगवान में नहीं बढ़ा, बल्कि संसारी आसक्ति बहुत 3-4-10 टाइम्स हो गया जो मंत्र लेने से पहले था। ऐसा क्यों? क्योंकि आपको सिखाया नहीं गया कि भक्ति कैसे की जाती है जिससे मन भगवान में लगे। वो सिखाया नहीं आपको, आप बस मुंह से बोल रहे हैं मंत्र, उससे अंतःकरण शुद्धि नहीं होगी। मतलब हम गलत मार्ग में पूरे जीवन चलते हैं और अंत में जहां आसक्ति है उसी की प्राप्ति होगी। तो हमारा पुनर्जन्म होता है, भगवत प्राप्ति थोड़ी ही होती है। तो इस चीज से भी आप लोग बच जाइए। मैंने कल बताया था आप लोगों को कि हम गुरु बदल सकते हैं। बहुत से उदाहरण हैं हमारे इतिहास में। तो ऐसा नहीं सोचना चाहिए कि मैंने उन गुरु से मंत्र लिया है और 10, 15, 20, 30 साल उस मंत्र लेता रहा, तो अब मैं कैसे गुरु बदल सकता हूं? मैंने कल आपको समझाया कि असली गुरु ऐतराज नहीं करेगा, वो खुश होगा कि आप भगवान की ओर चल रहे हैं। तो उससे कोई मतलब नहीं है कि मेरा फैमिली गुरु ये है, मैंने उनसे मंत्र लिया है। रिस्पेक्ट करना है जरूर, लेकिन यदि आपको लग रहा है कि अब इस गुरु से लाभ मिल सकता है तो आप बदल सकते हैं। भगवान को ऐतराज नहीं है और असली संत को भी ऐतराज नहीं है। आप लोग ध्यान रखिएगा कि मैं ये सारी चीजें आपको इसलिए नहीं बता रहा हूं कि आप किसी से दुर्भावना करें कि ये गलत करता है, वो ये करता है, वो ये भी गलत है, दुर्भावना करना गलत है। लेकिन मैं आपको सीधा बताना चाहता हूं, भले ही आप लोगों में से कोई बुरा लगे, होपफुली मेरी आशा है कि किसी को नहीं लगा बुरा लेकिन मैं इसलिए थोड़ा चांस ले रहा हूं, रिस्क ले रहा हूं, क्योंकि समझना जरूरी है, नहीं तो एक और जन्म गया है यदि हम गलत मार्ग पे चढ़े। मैंने थोड़ा रिस्क लिया है आपको बताने से कि असली गुरु सिद्धियों का एक्सिबिशन नहीं करता है, और ये गुरु ये मंत्र का रहस्य क्या है, तो उसमें से कुछ कोई लग सकता है कि मुझे ये बात अच्छी नहीं लगी है, फिर भी मैंने ये आपको बताने का रिस्क लिया है क्योंकि मैं समझता हूं कि ये बहुत इम्पोर्टेंट है समझना, और जिसने समझा है वो असली गुरु पहचान सकता है, या वो मतलब जब असली गुरु आएगा तो वो उनके पहचाने के चांसेस और अधिक हैं। अच्छा, अब आज का समय खत्म हो गया, तो कल मैं आगे बताऊंगा कि संप्रदाय का रहस्य क्या है, और ये भी प्रश्न का उत्तर दूंगा कि कौन बड़ा है, भगवान बड़े हैं कि गुरु बड़े हैं, क्योंकि शास्त्र वेद में दोनों बातें लिखी हैं, कि कहीं लिखा है कि भगवान बड़े हैं, कहीं लिखा है कि गुरु बड़े हैं, तो इसका रहस्य भी संक्षेप में समझाऊंगा कल। So tomorrow I will continue by explaining to you what is the secret of sampradaya, which means the secret of the divine lineage of saints, and I'll also explain something that people wonder about, which is that in our scriptures at some places it says that God is greater, and at other places it says that the saint is even greater than God. So why are these things said, and which one is correct? I'll explain in just tomorrow, which is the last day, actually. Tomorrow will be the last day of this lecture. Bolo Srimat Sadguru Sarkar ki. Yeah.